This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Are we the city of winners? What happened?
Good morning, Mully. Happy
We're
Friday.
We're all about the winning.
Oh, my gosh. It will be hard to top that.
I feel like the biggest winner here.
I feel like it was the best day ever, or at least in a very long time. How does that happen?
When's the last time that's happened?
I can't remember. I think we're going to have to chronicle that, look into the archives, because the Sox win. The Cubs win.
The Sox win?
The Bulls win. All three teams win at the same time in the same day.
How did the Bulls win that game?
Good question.
How in the heck did the Bulls win that
that's
game?
That's what LeBron was asking as he boarded the flight back to L.A. Losers.
Losers.
Because LeBron gave it away, too. And not only did he give it away, then Josh Giddey. Oh, my Giddey, Ant.
Oh, I got to tell you.
Oh, my
Josh
Giddey, Ant.
That, who said it on the broadcast, I think? Like, thank you, Paul Patton. I mean, did he teach him the half-court heave?
Well, you can teach him to shoot better from three-point range. How you bank that or swish that from 47 feet away, that's just...
He said he'd never done it before.
Little luck involved.
He'd hit shots at the end of games, but he'd never hit a buzzer beater.
Mully, not only had he not done that before, but that was the longest buzzer beater in Bulls history.
Is that true?
Yes.
Wow.
That was the longest buzzer beater in Bulls history is the way that it was being described. And boy, was it described well.
Is it 65 or 66? When did the Bulls start? 66? It's a long time.
Yes, and that sequence was one of the more remarkable sequences you'll ever see in a basketball game. It ended the way the Bulls wanted it to, the way that Josh Giddey once dreamed a game would.
Oh.
Every kid has shot a half-court heave in his mind, in his driveway, wherever, and Josh Giddey buried it from the logo.
You
Unbelievable.
Know, the Lakers had won that game. The Bulls were down like... almost 20, right? Was it 18 in the fourth quarter? And they came back.
Came back.
And they hit a buzzer beater to win the game. How in the net? I mean, I get it. They're confident and they've been feeling good. They'd never quit. And Kobe wasn't having much of a night.
No.
And then he had a whole night in one quarter.
26 points, and he hit the shots in the clutch when he needed to.
Oh, my.
And
gosh.
The 9 points in the final 10 seconds, or whatever it ended up being, when you saw Patrick Williams, and then you saw Giddey steal the ball
that, and he
from LeBron.
He compared it to Larry Bird. Yeah. Did he steal the ball? Did he steal Johnny Most came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then he gets it to Kobe, who hits in the clutch. And then the defensive lapse, and Austin Reeves goes down, and you think, oh, my gosh, this was all for naught. And 3 seconds left, and Josh Giddey did this.
So Doncic in play, far sideline, left forecourt. Doncic holding and looking at play to Reeves. Works on Williams to the rim, and the layup is good. 3.3 left. 117-116 Lakers. Williams to Giddey over the midcourt line. Get it, it goes. Midcourt. Oh! It's good! It's good! It's good! Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! Josh Giddey from midcourt from the Bulls logo. What a ball game! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Josh Giddey, I love you!
Josh Giddey, I love you.
I got to tell you.
I love you, mate.
But that was the kind of moment where you hug someone you don't know.
Yes.
Oh, my God, did you know?
Strangers hugging strangers.
Get over here. Come in here for one.
Come in for a big one. You just felt like it was
unbelievable.
Something you didn't expect to happen. It happens to other teams, other cities. Not Chicago.
Not after watching the White Sox won.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the Cubs winning, which was great. And
Cubs scored 10 runs?
How did they?
Could that be right?
The Flip Sox it around. Scored 8. How did that had to be wrong?
Which is more remarkable. You know what? Josh Giddey hits a 47-footer for the longest buzzer beater in team history. And yet it wasn't the most remarkable feat of the day because the Sox scored 8 runs.
It's so borderline mean, but I mean, it was glorious.
But it was a fun day.
It was a glorious day.
It's all in fun because everybody won.
And the NCAAs were phenomenal.
Yes, they really were.
Great.
They delivered.
Your guy Cal getting
They gave up a 16-point lead.
They were like the Lakers.
You know, maybe we should have led with the college basketball.
College basketball
We don't ignore college sports in Chicago.
No, God. You know what? I mean, I know we're a blue city.
I know. We don't want to do
or
that.
Or whatever it was.
But we digress.
Yeah, we got yelled at
yesterday.
Yeah,
we did. But back to the Giddey shot. It was great to hear Chuck go crazy. And you're right. That's a great way to put it. You wanted to hug a stranger. You just wanted to hug a stranger.
Anyone in your vicinity.
At the United Center. You know what? Stacey King needed a hug. This is how and Adam Amin sounded on CHSN.
So far.
Doncic took the final shot before that. Here's Reeves. Reeves straight to the cup. Plays it in to take the lead. Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddey for the win. Go!
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this. Elizabeth, I'm coming, baby. Somewhere in Australia, Sydney, or Melbourne, Paul Hogan is up here, Crocodile Dundee. Oh, Lord.
You may never see a wilder sequence than you just saw in the final 10 seconds. Oh. And Josh Giddey from down under beats the Lakers at the horn.
This is unbelievable. Bulls Nation, embrace this team. I'm telling you, the hype is real. This is not the same team. You better embrace them. Get your tickets. Buy them. This is a special team. A lot.
He started out. He went Fred Sanford.
Yeah.
He got into Crocodile Dundee.
Paul Hogan. Any Australian reference that came to Stacey's mind, he would say out loud. Melbourne.
Patrick Giddey.
Somewhere in Australia, Sydney, or Melbourne, Paul Hogan is somewhere there, Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
And he hit from
Paul
down
Hogan
under.
Paul Hogan is the name of the actor who plays Crocodile Dundee.
What a finish. What
hilarious.
A finish. And the place went nuts.
Oh, my God.
The Lakers.
Place went crazy.
Really blew it down the stretch. But when you hit a shot like that, the Lakers didn't lose that game. The Bulls won it. They went out and they...
A lot of Laker fans in the crowd.
Yes.
And they looked crestfallen.
They did.
They were just... As they should be.
It's their only trip to Chicago.
Yeah.
And
you just beat them half a week ago.
There were a lot of LeBron fans there. And a lot of LeBron jerseys there. And you saw a lot of Luka people there. They were...
And you know now for certain that Mike is better than LeBron.
Yeah, of course. Because of Josh Giddey. Bulls won, LeBron zero. That just gets another notch.
Josh Giddey, I love you.
I love you, Josh Giddey.
Now, honestly, when you burp out love for a man, that's a hell of a shot.
He handled it really well post-game, too. Josh Giddey has emerged as quite the spokesman for this team and saying how they're playing together. They love this group. This Bulls team now, 9 out of the last 11, 4 in a row. We talked to Billy Donovan the other day. This is a fun thing to watch. It feels like a very much a college tournament late season run type of thing.
Because they're all that age.
Exactly.
But I mean, did he have another triple-double, I believe?
Yes, he did.
I mean, that guy, he's just... He's really playing well. I got to tell you, maybe the play of the game was that steal. I mean, obviously it's the last second shot because it won the game. But I'm saying that was a huge play at that moment.
Yep, one led to the other.
And throwing it out to Kobe, who knocks down a three. That was a big moment in that game. And, you know, identify the man least likely to make the big game steal. I thought coming into the year that wasn't his skill. I thought for half the season that wasn't his skill. He's doing things that you don't anticipate he can do.
He had 8 steals last Saturday night against the Lakers. He has the big one down the stretch against LeBron, who looked all of 40 years old. He looked rusty last
LeBron
night.
LeBron was aging in front of us.
1-12 from 3-point range since he's come back from the groin injury.
He got older quarter to quarter.
He did seem to be aging. Looked like he didn't start the game looking with gray hair or specs, but he did it by the end of the game. And that'll age you. When you lose a game like that, that will age somebody. And the Bulls just keep playing together. They keep playing well. And what a ending to a great day in Chicago sports. And there aren't very many days like yesterday.
No, it was, I mean, you did kind of lose your own sense of identity. Are we winners? I thought we were the city of losers. How did this happen? It was phenomenal. They have won, 9 of 11 now?
Yes.
The Bulls?
Mm-hmm.
Man, twice the Lakers in that group.
It's great that at least the conversation has shifted from the tankathon.com standings watch to you believe how well this team is playing together, moving the basketball, playing unselfishly, doing what needs to be done in the clutch, and identifying guys who want to be part of this core. Matas, Josh Giddey, Kobe White.
Kevin Huerter had like the game of his life.
He did.
Matas even said it on his IG. He said the Bulls are back.
Did he say
yes,
that?
Yes, he did.
Well, you can forgive him for getting a little carried away.
Yeah, he's such a fun guy.
You know,
guy.
He is fun. And the Bulls enjoy this because maybe the Bulls are back. It's something to consider. It's not ridiculous. You need to do more longer. But
well, I'll tell you
I understand the sentiment.
We're going to the game on Saturday.
Yes, we are.
No duckouts, okay? No Irish goodbyes.
No.
You got to stay there till they throw in
especially
the last
now.
Shot. Exactly.
If they're down 15 in the fourth, I don't want to see you leaving for the door.
The final heave.
You're staying for every last possession, buddy.
Holy guacamole! That was. I mean, honestly, that was that. You got the goosebumps. You don't see that. You don't see that. You know. I was kind of like Stacy. You hear him say, "I told you." Meaning Austin Reeves driving to the bucket. He did that twice at the end of the game, and you were like, duh, don't give up points that easily.
Austin Reeves took over that game in the second quarter.
Oh, man.
He was unstoppable. Then he gets the big shot down the stretch. Two nights in a row, I think it's interesting from the Lakers' perspective. Luka takes the last shot in Indianapolis. LeBron was there to tip it in.
LeBron tipped it
in. And last night, Austin Reeves takes the shot, the final possession for the Lakers. Doesn't matter because Josh Giddey made it moot. But in both cases, LeBron wasn't that guy.
Interesting.
Wasn't that guy to take the last shot.
He was the tip-in artist.
All cases. Like, LeBron lost every, I mean, the Patrick Williams three, he was defending that. Then a lazy inbound pass. And then he had, I mean, he was kind of defending Giddey on that half court.
Yeah. March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Shot.
Kinda. Well, kinda. In retreat.
Yeah, he's, I mean, he's got to get back. He's getting older.
That was the kind of...
I love that. I thought it was so great.
The kind of buzzer beater, though, you usually see in March, but not from the NBA.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was
right.
A college tournament game.
That was the best game of the college tournament.
It was last night. What's the average age of the Bulls versus the average age of Texas Tech?
Well, LeBron, I mean, his age kind of really raises the bar. Let's be honest.
For the Lakers,
46 now? 47?
He looked it in the final minute.
As I'm saying, as the game went on, he started the game. He was still
there was the Jordan statue in the atrium, and then there was the LeBron statue on the court.
Oh, that's beautiful. That takes some gratuitous shots.
Well, you know, the Bulls set him home a loser.
They have the right. They have the right.
And, Molly, it felt different. It felt, like you said, almost euphoric because it was a day full of unexpected glee in Chicago.
Yes.
So the White Sox game was fantastic.
I got to tell you, I mean, I was blown away by that game. I just, you know, Sean Burke, what a performance.
What a performance.
Way to go. That was a great job. They got three home runs. This home run challenge team, we complained, there's no power. They got Slater hit a solo shot.
ComEd was on strike for the White Sox.
Benintendi with the broken bone in his hand.
A Betty bomb.
He hit a Betty bomb, and it was a three-run homer. And then Lidin Sosa, not to be outdone, had a two-run homer.
Well,
they hit them.
Those were no doubters.
Those were gone.
Those were no doubters. Andrew Benintendi, very quietly, has returned from a broken hand.
Dealing with some pain, yeah.
Has to be playing through some pain. He homers on opening day. We didn't even think he would be around opening day.
I know.
Sean Burke does a very nice Garrett Crochet imitation.
He what? I couldn't believe how well he pitched,
It made me think of last year's six innings, no runs.
Three hits.
Remember last year we wondered how far Crochet would go in the game, and we thought three innings, four innings, and he ends up going six on opening day. This sounds almost absurd to compare what Sean Burke did to Crochet and had the expectation that's going to follow this season, but he was very strong, and I think he overcame some early jitters maybe of being the opening day starter and really settled down nicely.
I believe they were up 3-0 in the eighth inning, and it was first and third, and the manager of all people, goes to the bullpen, brings in Mike Clevinger, who proceeds to walk. I thought that was a good thing to do, frankly. Don't let that guy beat you. Mike Trout, he got the bases loaded, and he gets him out of the jam. That's a really good decision to go to your high leverage guy
at that time.
At that time.
If Mike Clevinger is your high leverage guy, and I think that he is for the Sox,
I agree.
Then moving to him at that moment was a smart decision.
And that's Will Venable, and that's a different level of managing than we saw a year ago.
I think you're right. It's a good call. It's also refreshing to see that happen in the first game of the season. It bodes well for the future and decisions like that. Unconventional? Maybe not anymore. I think when you go to your best relief pitcher,
do it in the biggest moment.
You don't want to squander that opportunity to put out that rally. Clevinger did.
He did well. I mean,
hey, by the way, I wish love having Alex Kuhn here today. MVP returns.
Yes. MVP?
We can't call me the MVP today because I kept saying that the Cubs are 1-0.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. I wasn't going to bring attention to that. It's okay. You get past
my bad, guys.
That's
early.
Okay. It's a first quarter miss. Don't worry.
We don't count those games either.
I almost wish Dustin was here for this reason. Mike Trout was not only in right field yesterday, he was at the Bulls game.
Yeah. He apparently is good buddies with Zach LaVine, of all people.
Yes.
So maybe he thought Zach was still with the Bulls.
The
I
Dustin
don't know.
Whammy.
I'm Mike Trout.
He was not eating a Subway. I did see him there with some friends and an entourage. But Mike Trout was there courtside to see the Bulls and the Lakers.
Weren't the White Sox in a booth? Didn't the White Sox get like a nice little place upstairs? They're off today.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe they were in, I don't know if it was Jerry's suite, but they were in a suite.
I'm sure they probably did that because it was a marquee event. The Lakers, again, come to town once a season. And it's the traveling road show. When you got LeBron and Luka, it's a spectacle. It's an attraction. And they went home defeated.
They lost. Those losers left like the big L on their shirt. It's probably for
LA losers. Losers.
Yeah.
The LA losers left.
That's right. Take that.
Take that. So Sox win, Bulls win, and then after everybody was coming down from their euphoric experience throughout the rest of the day, the Cubs score 10 in Arizona.
Yeah, that was awesome.
They scored 10 runs.
They did. They did indeed.
Who said anything about jet lag?
Your guy, Ian Happ. Who said move him down in the order? Let him keep raking.
It's a fair question. But yeah, Ian Happ definitely did he went deep. And I don't think that Justin Steele was necessarily overly sharp, but he'll take the
W. He was sharper than Zach Gallen.
Zach Gallen.
He was walking guys, man. That was there was a lot of like really mediocre performance from a guy who is as good as him, all-star pitcher.
Good to see Miguel Amaya have a big hit.
Yes, he did.
Nice to see some things happen. I like the batting order. We'll talk about it with Matt Shaw moved down. It was just like a lot to like about everything yesterday. Where are we?
Yeah. No, it was something. I got to tell you. Sox actually did not play a bad defensive game. I mean, they were good, and they had a couple of moments in that game. I'm just saying, I don't think I expected that at all. I think that was the most surprising one. Obviously, a guy hitting a mid-court shot at the buzzer was the most exciting
that
moment.
That speaks to how low your expectations were of the White Sox.
Oh, when my gosh.
The Bulls hit a 47-footer for the first buzzer beater in team history, and the biggest surprise of your day was that the White Sox looked fundamentally sound in beating.
They look well managed. I'm just saying, they didn't look as overwhelmed as I imagine they would be or are. That was a...
They did not.
They got good pitching.
Right.
They got good pitching through the bullpen, too.
Day off today because the weather... built in their off day. That was smart. Wasn't so smart maybe starting the season in Chicago against the Los Angeles team in March.
I'll take it.
But you'll take it now. They have the day off today, then they get back at it tomorrow and Sunday.
What are the Angels called these days? Are they no longer the
bad.
California Angels? Are they the...
They're bad.
Are they the Anaheim Angels?
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Are they still the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's a little wordy.
TA got a nice ovation. Tim Anderson.
You know what? I got to tell you. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
T.A., you know what? I loved the dichotomy of the receptions. T.A. gets the great reception.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moncada comes in and he just gets booed. And he sadly has earned it. And then Nicky Lopez comes in and he literally gets laughed at because he's pitching. They had to pitch Nicky Lopez.
Well, he has to earn his roster spot.
There was like happiness, there was laughter, there was joy, and there was booing.
Well, there are a lot of different degrees of relevance there, and what Tim Anderson meant to the South Side, much different than what Yoan Moncada represented, and certainly Nicky Lopez, with due respect.
Yeah.
Nicky Lopez, the pride of Naperville.
Yeah, local guy made good.
Yoan Moncada, it was the epitome of underachievement.
He was, and he heard it.
And Tim Anderson really represented the Sox as well as anybody could when they were good, because he was the face of baseball, as Joe Buck said, or he wanted to be. But he was the bat flip mentality guy. He was the guy that was the leader in many ways of some teams that didn't accomplish what they wanted.
Did you see?
But it was a nice ovation.
The Ozzy Moncada thing. Chuck took a photo. Yeah. Of that was hysterical. Because Ozzy is just talking as he does, and it looked like Moncada was going in for one. Yeah, it was such a weird. Yeah. It was like, funny. It was funny. Wait a minute.
Ozzy did a lot of talking yesterday. I tell you, I was out there for the new studios.
Did you go out there
for CHSN?
Oh,
and they unveiled the new studios where they do the pre and post game show.
Yeah. They look great.
It's really nice.
You're overlooking.
Yeah.
Even the bench looked super cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And it was a nice crowd out there. So all in all.
How long did you stay?
I stayed probably.
Did you go see Layla and
yes.
Marshall? Oh,
yes.
Good.
I made the rounds yesterday, Molly, because you got me going thinking the Wings and Rings. So I went from Wings and Rings to the ballpark and then took a little bit of a respite, and then I caught the first quarter of the Bulls-Lakers game, but I left.
Oh, that's great, though. That's wonderful.
It was fun because it was one of those days. It doesn't happen
energy.
Often.
Yeah.
And certainly yesterday, we're going to have to find out the last time the Bulls, the Sox, and the Cubs all won the same day.
It was the first home opener win for the Sox since like 2014.
In over a decade. It was historic.
That?
It was euphoric. It was fun.
It was great.
It was great to have fun.
It was a great day.
Watching Chicago sports.
You're so right. It was great to have positive results from Chicago sports teams. It's just been a while.